Amen. Good morning. My name is Reverend Gabrielle Kennedy. My pronouns are she, her, and hers. So grateful to be here this morning, and really thankful to you, Reverend Kathy, for giving me just a couple of minutes to be a good African Methodist with my greetings. To the presiding prelate of the Missouri Diocese of the Episcopal Church, Bishop Dion Johnson, and to the angel of this house, the very Reverend Kathy Adams Shepherd, and the Pursuing Racial Justice Work Group, amen, who invited me this morning. Thank you for the invitation. To Reverend Dave, to my Edenite brother, Mark Waite, my brother Rob Good, who had the distinct pleasure of serving with and learning from in the past year. To all of you, my siblings in Christ, here in the room and online, I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from Buren Chapel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Herculaneum, Missouri, what we like to call the little church with a big heart. Amen. How good and pleasant it is to be with my Episcopal cousins at Christ Church Cathedral. Thank you again for this invitation. I'm honored because I know you could have had anybody standing in this place at this sacred desk for this occasion. And so let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for this time, O Lord, that you have granted us together. God, we pray, Lord, that you will reveal yourself to us in ways that go beyond our own expectations. We ask, O God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my strength, and my redeemer. And we all said, amen. Amen, amen. So last week, we celebrated what is probably the most celebrated love holiday. Y'all remember that last week? Felt like last month. The most celebrated love holiday, at least in this country, Valentine's Day. Amen. Let me stop so I can get y'all, we can be in this thing together. I'm a black preacher from the black preaching tradition. So when I say amen, that's not a rhetorical thing. I'm asking y'all to say amen back to me. Amen? Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you. Now I feel at home. Because when folks don't say amen back to us, we feel like we got to preach longer, Reverend Kathy. We feel like we got to go on a little bit longer. So just say amen back. So last week we were celebrating Valentine's Day, and I have to tell you that I used to be quite the Valentine's Day Grinch. I would roll my eyes at the mention of Valentine's Day because it just seemed to be a greeting card holiday created to fatten the pockets of florists and jewelers and candy makers and stuffed animal sellers. But as time has gone on, as I've gotten older and a little wiser, I pray, I've decided that I should take every advantage, that we should take every advantage and any chance we get to promote love. With all of the hate and discord we are experiencing here and abroad, with our unwillingness to even listen to one another, we need every possible opportunity to promote love. But this morning, I've come to encourage us to a particular kind of love, right? To be particular about the kind of love that we promote, right? I've come to encourage a love ethic, which is the title to our sermon this morning, a love ethic. Our Lucan text today is one of those texts that has shaped cultures. The pericope is a part of Jesus's sermon on the plain, if you will, where he's trying to help folks stand up against the causes of oppression. And one of those causes is hate. This text has shaped our idea about who Christians ought to be, about how Christians ought to be. And in short, we ought to be those who love. Amen? Despite times in history when Christianity has been used to the contrary, I think we can generally say there's an expectation that as Christians, we ought to love. But this text, parts of it were probably pretty controversial then, and I know it's still the case now, because it's asking us to do something antithetical to our general understanding of love. Definitions of love say things like strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties. It says attraction based on sexual desire, affection, and tenderness felt by lovers. Yes, it says affection based on admiration, benevolence, or common interests. Ain't nothing in there about slapping nobody, right? This can be interpreted, this text, by some as us being pacifists who would love their enemies and allow them to treat them in any old kind of way, slapping you on your left and your right side, taking your coat and us giving up our shirt while we pray for them. On this third Sunday of Black History Month, I want to encourage a love ethic. The subtitle I saw in one of my Bibles named this text, Love for Enemies. But what began to come up in my spirit was a love that has some standards. Amen? To some folk, that might seem a little bit redundant, a love ethic, because love should automatically be ethical, shouldn't it? But on the contrary, the promotion of the kinds of activities and the kind of love activities that we are exposed to that have been universally defined as love is the fodder for my Grinch stance on Valentine's Day. Fueling these kinds of activities are the kinds that fuel our capitalistic endeavors and makes us draw some lines in the sand, though, I think, and demand that we have some standards when it comes to our love, not just something we sell on one day of the year. But we are universally used to seeing what we've been conditioned to believe is the kind of thing that Dr. Martin Luther King warned against. Amen. He warned against a weak, nonsensical love, emotional bosh. He warned against a love that does not operate in power or come with moral duty that governs our behavior. If it's absent of those things, he said we ought to watch out. That's why I've come to encourage a love ethic. And in particular, I've come to embolden us in Black love. Now, I know y'all might be thinking I'm confused about my audience today. Some of y'all sitting in here not sitting in Black skin, but I'm not. Black love is what world-renowned author, professor, and intellectual Dr. Cornel West calls a resource. Amen? West says Black love can take a people who've existed in 400 plus years of oppression and degradation and keep us from terrorizing those who terrorized us. And per Frederick Douglass, ascend to a higher moral and spiritual level. Maybe that's what the scripture is talking about. Simply having some standards when it comes to our love. And I submit the standard to which we should be measuring ourselves is Black love. I can understand if this don't really sit well with you this morning. Why would it? West says, and I agree, that in a white supremacist world, which is alive and well today in our laws and in our housing agreements and our prison, education, and financial systems, in that kind of society, Black freedom is a pipe dream. Black hope is a joke. Black history is a curse and black love is a crime. So why would we want to set our standards to anything seen through this lens? Even if there is a small chance that we might be misunderstood about something as serious and important as the expression of love. In fact, why would you be willing to be associated with anything black? Every time we hear the word black, we've been conditioned on some level to picture darkness and pain. And this darkness and pain have been associated with the color and the intentional connection to the people and their experience. Why would we want to be associated with that? When we say black, we are immediately reminded of 250 plus years of chattel slavery, racial apartheid, otherwise known as Jim Crow, 40% of the US prison population made up of black and brown bodies, black mothers dying in childbirth, black babies dying before the age of one at the rate of developing countries, children graduating high school unable to read, unemployment and debt through the roof, overdose addiction and death ravaging the population under the shadow of a pandemic. How could I ask you to align yourself with something like that? I'm so glad you asked. I can ask you to align with something as blackety black black as black love. Because black love is the counterbalance to all of that stuff that gets promoted in an imperialistic and capitalistic system that only has use for blackness if it can turn a profit or support the status quo. What I invite you to consider today is that black love, in its multiple applications, is one of the best ways to live out these directives we've received in the text today. But in order to be able to touch and agree on this idea of a new love standard that Jesus gives, you have to know what black love is and what it is not. So let's talk about that a little bit. I got a few things, but let me just start by saying this. Black love is what allows me to stand before you here today. It's more than people talking about a village raising a child. It's actually doing it despite the cost to them. Black love is mom and them's cooking. It's daddy and uncle taking time out for you after a long, hard day. Black love is stern educational expectations from school teachers who don't have the proper tools. Black love is grandmama's big, soft arms and granddaddy's bouncing knee. Black love is a connection to friends and cousins and play aunties so strong that it could have been blood. Ask me how I know. Angela Davis says that black people have the capacity to inhabit an oppressive set of circumstances and at the same time transcend them through song and beauty. That's pretty incredible. And I believe that it's only possible because of black love. Black love is so powerful that it can't be controlled. It cannot be policed. It cannot be put in a box. It's limitless and overflowing. Black love is not a theory. It is not an untested concept, and it does not exist in a vacuum. Black love is the reason I stand before you today. And it is the reason we should never fail during Black History Month or any other month to fully appreciate the wonder of the persistent existence of the African diaspora. Because when we celebrate Black history, if the only thing we can conjure up is pain and despair, then white supremacy wins, y'all. And I'm not suggesting that we sugarcoat our difficult history, amen? We always want to keep it real. But we should never forget that 400 plus years of struggle is also accompanied by 400 plus years of overcoming. And that's something to celebrate about. As Dr. West says, we're overcoming with overloving. And we can never forget the boundless reach of Black love, which is, by the way, also God's love. Amen. So just in case you heard my description and thinking, and you're thinking Black love is a separatist movement, amen, let me help you out. Black love is a reflection of God's love. God loved the world so much that the only begotten son was given. And Mamie Till loved her son so much that the casket had to be opened so the whole world could see. Just as God's love was handed down through the line of David, so has Black love flourished from generation to generation. All encompassing yesterday, today, and forever. Operating as a foundation and creating a resilience for a future unknown, but promised nonetheless. Friends, today, I submit to you that Black love is God's love because God is love. And God loved us first. Black love is not just a theory, some pie in the sky kind of thing, or just some kind of warm feeling that wells up in our hearts when it's convenient. Black love isn't an intellectual endeavor meant for consumption from the latest New York Times bestseller. Black love is not just a theory, y'all. It's a living, breathing standard of love. Black love is God's love. Boundless, generative. It cannot be controlled. So much so that Black love is not just limited to Black people. Amen, somebody. We can all participate in this part of the service. Ain't that what we say? It's not just limited to Black people, but anyone who would immerse themselves in the Black experience for more Black self-determination, more Black self-respect, more Black girl magic and Black boy joy. Black love is God's love. That we would turn even to one we've been convinced is our enemy and love them to life just as God has loved us. Amen. Amen. Amen.